Psalms chapter 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Oh, you didn't help me. Yeah, what's with you folks today? Help me out now. Remember, verse number 1, I read it. Verse number 2, you help me out. Who had it? You had it, right? Yeah. So you ladies, you folks follow Mrs. Porter, okay? And she remembered. Let's try it again. Guys, I'm messing with my service today. I'm not going to be able to do good. Watch this now. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's my turn now. We'll give you a pass since you're new. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Amen. Brother Chris, you pray for us this morning, please.
Lord God, thank you for gathering us now. Speak to the preacher as she brings the message to the power of the evening, the way of the Lord. Find the devil in the name of Jesus that will certainly in this place. If not, disrupt or distract from the service of any way. If there be a lost sinner here, Lord God, we ask you to convict their heart and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. You may be seated. I thought I was over the cough. We'll do the best we can this morning, all right? Here I begin last Sunday morning with these six verses in Psalms. I told you last week that when I went to a Christian school, in the third grade I began Christian school, and my grandparents and some other folks made it certain that we were in school for a while. And we had to memorize scripture through school, which was a blessing. It helped us. And I can only imagine the things that I would have encountered more or done more had it not been for Christian school. And so, though I didn't grow up in a great home and didn't grow up as a good Christian, it could have been a lot worse if it had not been for some things that got a place in my life. One of the very first scriptures that we had to memorize was Psalms chapter 1. And though I probably can't repeat it all word for word, it stuck with me all these years, one of my favorite psalms. And this psalm now, verse chapter 1, it contrasts two different ways. It contrasts two different people. It contrasts the way of the righteous man. Verse number 6, God says that the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so that's a promise. That's a principle that doesn't change. Just as the laws of energy does not change, the laws of gravity will not change, this will not change as well. The way of the righteous man, God knows that way, and God will bless that way. The way of the ungodly man, no matter what he does, shall be doomed. It shall perish. Now he may prosper a year or two on this side of heaven. He may have wealth, but his feet are in slippery places. And he shall find himself soon in hell. And so we find that God contrasts these two ways. And so we find that the way of the righteous man is blessed. He knows the way, and the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The way of the ungodly man is unstable, and his way is doomed. It will perish. Now we find in verse number 5 that these two ways will never cross. These two ways never end in the same place. God said, verse number 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners the congregation of the righteous. These two ways never end in the same place. And you can say, well, you know what, preacher, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to listen. I don't have to obey the Bible. I don't have to listen to God's word, and I'll be fine. You can do that if you want to. I'm not your dictator. And the fact of the matter is, God says these two ways never end in the same place. There is no such thing that all roads lead to heaven. And so the way of the righteous man, God blesses that way, and it ends in God's presence, but the way of the ungodly shall perish, and he'll never stand in the presence of God as far as being in heaven. And so we find that there are two different ways. Then I said, what makes the difference in these two men? What is the difference between the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly? What makes the difference in their way, the way you live, your life, your priorities, what's of value to you, what you give your life, by the way, you give your life to somebody or something. Everyone does. I was thinking about that yesterday. I believe, and I might repeat myself today, and that's okay because that's what preachers do. because sometimes you're not listening. But, you know, everybody gives their life to something. We're in this summer season now. It's amazing how many folks will give their life to softball this year. And they'll spend days of the week at softball. They'll look at us and they'll say, you go to church 3 times a week, you're crazy. You go to Christian school and you go sewing on Saturdays, that's a lot of time. But I know guys that I like to watch dirt track racing. And I know guys that would go and race stock cars 4 and 5 days a week. Everybody gives their life to somebody or something. I just want to give my life to something that's going to matter at the end. Now, what makes the difference between these two ways? The difference is the Word of God. Verse number 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The difference is the Word of God. The righteous are blessed because, not because they're better, not because they're holier than thou, not because they come from a different family, or because they had more money. The righteous are blessed because they delight in the Word of God. The ungodly perish because they reject the Word of God. Now, we talked last Sunday, and I want to hurry through this to get to the part I missed. Blessings in God's Word, there are some blessings that God says are not conditional. He just says, I'm promising you these blessings, and you're going to get them regardless of what you do. For example, eternal life is a blessing that we receive that's not conditional. When you get born again, God says, I'll give you everlasting life. He seals it with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. No matter what I do, I have everlasting life. That's God's promise that doesn't depend upon me. Thank God for that. But God does say there are some things, if you do, then I'll do. If you will do certain things, then I'll do certain things. Probably one of the most famous verses that we think about, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, so humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and heal their land. Here's a conditional promise to Israel. God says, and this Israel, if you'll just pray and seek my face and humble yourselves and put away your sin and seek me, then I will forgive your sin and heal your land. That's a conditional promise. If you do this, then I'll do that. And so we find here that this we find in Romans, Psalm chapter 1, a conditional promise. It's just some things that we will do, God said, then he also will do. And God oftentimes attaches blessings to the obedience of his word. We're his children, by the way. And we raise our kids the same way. If you do certain things, if you do right, there's blessings. If you do wrong, there's consequences. God's the same way. If you honor my word and delight in my word, there's blessings attached to that. If you reject my word, reject me, there's consequences for that as well. Many folks want God's blessings without putting God first. That don't often happen. Let me ask you a question this morning before I get farther in the message. Preacher, I want God to bless me. Amen. Who doesn't? Would God have to violate his word to bless you? You have to ask yourself that question. I can't answer that question for you. Only you can. Well, God, if God blessed you and prospered your ways, would he violate his word to do to do so? You say, well, God ain't going to do that. God will never violate his word to bless people. And so God does attach some conditional promises and blessings with his word. We find that these two ways are compared. We find we talked last Sunday exclusively about the righteous man. Let me give you the points about that again and we'll move on to the ungodly. Number one is this. We find the way of the righteous. His choice was for God's word. We see that he forsook the counsel of the ungodly. He forsook the way of the sinner. He forsook the seed of the scornful. And his delight was in the word of God, the law of God. And there he meditated day and night. So he chose. He chose to delight in the way of God. He chose to find great pleasure and satisfaction in God's word. And that, by the way, that don't come naturally by itself. Remember, we carry this old flesh around with us. This flesh is not saved. And though we're to walk in the Spirit of God and live in the Spirit, the old flesh that we carry around with us is enmity against God. And so the flesh says, don't you delight in God's Word. Man, there's no fun in that. There's no satisfaction in that. There's no pleasure in God's Word. The Spirit of God says, delight in God's Word. There's blessings that you don't see there, that you receive. And so you must choose to delight. A man has to choose. Listen, I don't mind watching softball. I couldn't play it 4 days a week. So somebody made that choice. I don't mind going every now and then watching a guy race the car to the left, four left turns, you know, for a couple hours. But guys that do it every day, they've chosen to delight in that. That's their choice. When you and I as a Christian, we gotta choose by God's help. Choose! I'm gonna delight in the things of God. Now, why did he delight in the things? Why would the righteous man delight in God's word? Because of its certainty. Because God gave it. God gave it. And his word is right. Why would he delight in God's word? Because God's word sanctifies. It sanctifies. Its ways are cleansing. Oh, think about what you used to be before salvation. And now God put the Spirit of God inside your heart. And you begin to read God's word and it cleanses you with the washing of the water by the word. And you're cleansed and you're not what you used to be. You don't go where you used to go. You don't do what you used to do. You've been cleansed. It keeps you from sin. It's a comfort to you. It's a hope to the discouraged. It's a lamp to the dark in the darkness. It's an escape from temptation. It's a healing to the broken. It's a treasure to the seeker. It's a testimony of the redeemed, the word of God. And so he delights in God's word because God's word sanctifies. Then God's word also satisfies. Verse number 3, we find that God, when you honor God's word and delight in God's word, that God's word will satisfy. And by the way, it sure does. God satisfies the believer. God's word plants your position. God said that the man, the righteous man that chooses me and delights in me, meditates upon my word, he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. God plants you in the right place. Well, your roots can go down deep into the water of God's word and the rich soil of God's word and nourish you with the waters of God's word and grow you as a Christian. God protects you. The word of God provides for you seasonal grace. God said that his fruit shall bring forth his fruit in this season. Oh, we need God's graces in our life, that fruit of the word of God. When the righteous man delights in God's word, he begins to reap fruit of God's word. And now where there once was hate, now there's love. And now once where there was discouragement, now there's hope. Now once where there was sorrow, now there's joy in the midnight hours. There's a peace that passes all understanding in the believer's life. And there is long-suffering in the time of persecution. There's gentleness for the broken and the wounded. There is patience in the time of suffering. And there is faith in the day of trials. These are all these fruits that they bear. But God said this too. God said not only will he bear fruit, his leaves shall not wither. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Think about that for a moment. The Christian life is not a Christian life of dying. You did that when you got born again. In fact, God said, us and I redeemed you. You are dead in your sins and trespasses. And when God saved you, he gave you life. You're not dead, you're living. You're not dying any longer, we're living. And God says, this man that delights in me and in my word, not only will he bear fruit this season, but he also, his leaf shall not wither. He'll prosper, he'll be living. And boy, there's more life in the Christian life, more life in the gospel, there's more life in God's word than the world could ever afford, ever understand. Hey, Christians, today, don't go around like you're dying. Live your life like you're living. Because God said, listen, if you delight in my word, you're going to prosper. Your leaf won't even wither. How many Christians, listen, it's not God's will for you to dry up on the vine. It's not God's will for you to languish in the Christian life. It's not God's will for you to just barely get by. Now, it may be God's will that we face struggles and trials. That's part of the Christian life. But not to the point of withering on the vine. God, he says, if you abide in him and he abides in you, your leaves shall not wither, and he provides you what you need to that Christian life. God is not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. We find that fruitfulness is an essential quality of the believer, and faithfulness is a blessing from delighting in God's word. God said, listen, whatever you do then, if you delight in my word, whatever you do shall prosper. Now, that's with, you know why God can say that? Because when you delight in God's word, you delight in God's business. When you delight in God's word, all of a sudden now, what you want to do becomes what does God want me to do? Didn't Christ say, in the Garden of Gethsemane, in his last hours, he came to save us, but he said, Father, at the beginning of the way, let this cup pass from me. but not my will, thy will be done. And God prospered his work. And God gave him a name above every name, that every tongue should confess, and every knee shall bow, that he is Lord. Why? Because Christ delighted in the word of God, and God blessed his work. When you delight in God's word, God's work becomes your work, and God will bless you for it. It was today, is your work being blessed? Don't ever try to preach with a cough drop in your mouth because it doesn't work. Now watch this. I've got 20 minutes. I'm going to get the rest of this in 20 minutes, hopefully. I want you to know something, first of all, now we looked at the way of the righteous. Watch this be now the way of the ungodly. I wish as a preacher, a guy could just preach all the thing positive all the time. But I'm going to today, this guy is positively ungodly, okay? So we're going to look at his way to make sure that we don't walk in that way, all right? Warn you that way. Watch this now, the way of the ungodly. The way of the ungodly uses no discretion. He has no discretion. Look at verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly man has no discretion. They begin to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Why are they able to do it? Why would an ungodly man walk in the counsel of the ungodly? Because they agree. Amos 2:2, can talk together except they be agreed. You know why you and I can't walk in the counsel of the ungodly? We don't agree. Amen. We don't agree. Hey, I can't put my kids in public school because we don't agree.
That's right.
We don't agree. If it was about reading and writing and arithmetic, it'd be fine, but they are indoctrinating our kids. It's no longer a place of learning, it's a place of indoctrination.
Yes. Yep.
So we don't agree. I gotta be careful where I put my kids in college because there's some things we don't agree upon. So the ungodly man has no discretion, and he walks in the way of the ungodly. He does not use discernment because in their heart they are agreed. The ungodly care nothing for the things of God and the people of God. They have rejected God's word and the man of God. Psalms 81:11 says this, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would hear, would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts and lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter who you are. When you walk in your own counsel, you're in trouble.
Amen.
I can't walk in my own counsel and come out on the right side of things. And so why does the ungodly man, why does his way perish? Because he has no discretion. He walks. He spends time with the ungodly. He lives in their counsel. The carnality of the world has their attention, and they are wise in their own eyes. The world is their counselor, and the ungodly are guided by the counsel of the ungodly. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's the difference. Not because somehow we're better. It's not us. It's who's in us and the way that we're living, the way that we're walking in, that makes the difference. Let me tell you something. When you get to the place you think that you're better because of who you are, that means you're getting real close to the way of the ungodly man. But when you realize, wait a minute, what makes it different? What makes my marriage different than anybody else? What makes my kids different than anybody else? What makes my prosperity different than anybody else is not who I am, but who I serve and whose way I walk. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, the Bible says. And so the ungodly has no discretion. Number 2, the ungodly has no separation. Want to hear something gross? Who's with me? All right, one person. Years ago when I was in Waukon, we had a preacher, an evangelist come through, and he had a cough like this. And so he put a glass of water up on the platform. He took one drink, then the rest of the rest, he spit loogies in that glass. Yeah, I won't do that. I'll swallow them right now. But When the service was over, nobody wanted to dump that glass. It sat there for days. Nobody wanted to touch it. These little loogies floating around in that thing. So anyway, they didn't teach you that in college, that preachers would spit loogies in the glass. That was just a little intermission for you. Think about doing a farmer blow up here real quick to get rid of it, you know. Number 2 is the ungodly has no separation. Not only does the ungodly walk in the way of the counsel of the ungodly. I'll tell you something, Christian. I want to encourage you. Be careful where you get your counsel from. Some of these books that folks are reading, they're good for kindling. A lot of humanism in the world today that makes you humanistic. It won't bring it closer to God. It'll bring it closer to you. All right? Be careful. I need some counsel. Boy, there's a lot of good counsel right here. A lot of good counsel right here. I don't understand it. Then get saved. The Spirit of God lives inside you. You understand it when the Spirit of God lives inside of you. And so, be careful of the counsel you get. And then it says he has no separation. He walks, not only does he walk in the way of the counsel of the ungodly, but he stands in the way of sinners. We find that the ungodly man, he makes his fellowship among sinners. Now that's a dangerous thing. When sinners become your fellowship, the ungodly have rejected the fellowship and family of the people of God. That doesn't make any sense. I think that God's people should want to be around God's people. You can call me narrow-minded if you want to. It doesn't bother me a bit, but I think your best friends should be your church family. I think that, listen, well, I've got family that's, well, then they, listen, if your family's saved, hallelujah, man, what a blessing that is. But if you have no family that's saved, your best friends should be church family. Well, but we're together all the time. What's wrong with that? Who else do we fellowship with? Church family. Man, you know what I got? When we got in the ministry, you know who our family is? Thank God that Mrs. Haney lives close to us now, but for years our family's just been our church family. My kids grew up calling people in church grandpa and grandma. And that's so the ungodly man, he stands in the way of sinners. They're his fellowship. They're his closest friends. So they have no separation. They prefer the friendship of the world over the friendship of God's people. And now listen, when you do that, you become the enemy of God. No, I didn't make that up. Was that a Baptist thing? It's a Bible thing. God says that when you make friends with the world, you become his enemy. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whatsoever therefore will be a friend of the world is enemy of God. This ungodly man, he chose his way. He had no separation in becoming friends with the sinners, placed them as the enemy of God. Now, let me say this real quick, an interjection here. Thank God sinners can be saved.
Amen.
I'm glad. I don't want to give this idea that, hey, sinners are, you know, don't go. No, they shouldn't be your best friend, but you should be kind. You should be friendly to them with the gospel. Sinners can be saved.
Amen.
If they couldn't be saved, where would you and I be at today? God came in the world to save sinners, the Bible says. While we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And so sinners can be saved, but they ought not be your best friend. So the ungodly man has no separation. Number three, the ungodly man has no dedication. It says, not only did they walk in the way of the counsel of the ungodly, they stood in the way of sinners, but now they're sitting in the seat of the scornful. There's no dedication. The seat of the scornful may be a lofty one, but it's closest to hell. The ungodly have rejected the word of God, rejected the worship of God, and rejected the church of God. But not only do they reject it, but now they begin to scorn it and scoff at it. They delight in rebellion. See, now watch this. This is a progression. See, you go from walking to now all of a sudden you're standing with that person. Now you become friends. You build in relationships. You're bonding. Next thing you know, you're sitting in the seat at comfort with them, relaxed with them, scoffing at the things of God. You say, well, that won't happen, preacher. May I remind you of the way of Lot, who pitched his tent towards Sodom. And he found himself looking and getting their counsel. He walked with them. And now all of a sudden, he soon began to stand with them. And then we find out in his life, he sat at the gates and judged with them. And when God told him to come and say, and when God warned him of his impending doom, he told his children, his wife, God's going to judge Sodom. They mocked him. Because all those years of him scoffing at things of God. And so we find that this is a progression. It doesn't end well. It gets worse. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 19:28. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Romans 1:32. Who knoweth the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is the reprobate mind. This is a scorner who has scorned the things of God. Not only do they delight in scorning and scoffing at the things of God, but they also rejoice in them that do that with them. We live in a world today that is scoffing. They have the appearance of godliness, the name of godliness, but they scoff the things of God. They scoff at God's word. They scorn God's word. I was reading an article this week, and the president of the Southern Baptist Convention is trying to get their churches to support the LGBT crowd. Let me tell you something. You mark it down. The way of Christianity that rejects God's word and rejects the authority of God's word, I don't care who they are, soon sit in the seat of the scornful. And it won't be long, I'll tell you something, it won't be long, and you'll hear of independent, fundamental Baptist churches supporting the same thing. I believe that. He said, no, it never happened. We're seeing a massive move to the left already. Massive. There's no longer in our churches hardly any modesty at all. Now suddenly we've torn down modesty and we've tossed it aside and you can't preach it anymore. You're going to offend people. They place the wrong music in our churches and they place drums on the platform and lights and stage lights and all this junk on the platform and they blaspheme the name of God and they won't be long when they're scorning the word of God as well. It's a progression. It's a progression. The only godly man has no separation and has no dedication. They're not committed to anything whatsoever. And they begin to scorn the things of God. The ungodly, the life of the ungodly is a progression that goes from worldliness to a railer. Now, I'm not here today to be unkind. I'm not here to step on anybody's toes today or judge anybody. Let me ask you a question. Think about this. How many folks have we known through the years of being in the ministry and being in church? Good folks that somewhere on the line got messed up a little bit, whether it was their own fault or got hurt in the church, and they left the house of God. And without trying to correct themselves, they plug themselves back in somewhere, they get worldly. That's just the way it happens. Standards drop. Kids don't dress the same way they should dress. All of a sudden now the kids are at young ages dating, running around in public school. And pretty soon you hear about that person, oh, you saw them at the tavern somewhere or getting some beer somewhere because they lower their standards on that as well. And then it won't be long pretty soon, not only were they worldly, but now they've become a railer on the things of God. Now, I'm not trying to say it's okay for a church to do wrong and hurt people. What I'm saying is, even if you're hurt, you have a responsibility to plug yourself back in the Word of God. And if you're gonna stand in the way of the counsel, or walk in the way of the counsel ungodly, it won't be long after time where you will sit in the seat of the scornful, and the things that you once loved, you rail against. You rail against that stuff. And so it's important this morning that we notice the way of the ungodly, that his way, it will perish. Now watch this, and lastly is this thought. The ungodly man has no determination. Verse number 4. The ungodly are not so. They're not like that righteous man. Planted like a tree, like rivers of waters. But watch this. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly man has no faith in God. They rejected the things of God, and now God is not their foundation. They have built their houses on sinking sand. And now they're driven with the wind like chaff. Their lust drive them. I'm appalled today and amazed. The things you see in our country taking place. I was watching a video clip the other day of these students who were simply had a stand and their college kids. They had a stand outside on the college lawn and it said, proud to be American, patriotic. They had the flags there and it said, we hate socialism. They weren't doing anything outrageous. They weren't saying anything. Just standing there and the hatred from the liberals was amazing. The things that they spewed out of their mouth, the vileness, the wickedness, and the violence. What's the difference? Because these wicked are driven by their lust. Drives them like wind, like chaff in the wind. They have no foundation. They have no idea what they believe. They have no idea where they're going. Whatever the wind drives, and the spirit of the devil drives them. And they're like chaff in the wind. They have no dedication to the things of God, no determination. And the way of the righteous man is completely and positively different than the way of the ungodly. And God said this, the ungodly, they're not so. Think about that for a minute. The ungodly are not so. They shall never be known by a holy God. Now watch, listen to, now catch this. The ungodly that continue in their path, continue in their way, rejecting God, there'll come a day when God will say this, depart from me, for I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you and forgot about you. He didn't say, I knew you and I didn't remember you. He said, depart from me, for I never knew you. The psalmist wrote and said this, the ungodly are not so. They're not known. They're not known. And folks, today, I just want to encourage you that first of all, look at these two ways. Let God help you walk in the way of the righteous. Choose His Word. Delight in His Word. But at the same time, live it publicly. Live God's Word boldly. Let the ungodly see what God's Word has done in your life. I know that the Bible says that the broad is the way that leadeth to damnation, and many there that go in there. I know today that there are thousands upon thousands today in the lake of fire, in the torments. But if you and I can just, by compassion, save just one. Save just one. Redeem just one ungodly man. Wouldn't that be worth it today? The Word of God makes a difference in the righteous man. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What makes a difference in you and I? Lest we leave here today better than we think we are. What makes a difference in our life? I wish to say, you know, my own carnality, my own pride. We could say, well, it was Pastor Mass, his great preaching made the difference. But that's not what made the difference. I wish today we could say, well, it's the Old Paths Baptist Church on Duggan Drive, the end of the cul-de-sac. That little building down there, that makes a difference. And I wish today it would be true. But that's not the truth. What makes a difference is the Word of God. And what made a difference in your life, make a difference in the life of the sinner, and the scorner and the ungodly. It can make a difference. And so, live God's Word. Choose God's Word. Young people today, delight in God's Word. If I could encourage you to do anything in your life, delight in God's Word. Make it a priority in your life. Choose God's Word. Find out what it says and live God's Word. And say, God, help me to and order my steps by your Word. God will bless you for it. You'll find the right wife. You'll find the right husband. You'll find the right job. You'll find the right church to go to. You'll raise your kids right. You'll have the right separation, the right standards in your life. You'll do it because of what God's Word said. Delight in the Word of God. What a blessing today to see these two people contrasted. We thank and we rejoice for the righteous man, but really, as we look at the ungodly, my heart grieves for him, for all that he desires to have, he misses, and he ends up in hell. He gains the whole world, but he loses his own soul because of the Word of God. Today is the Word of God important in your life. Let it be important in your life. The average Christian today spends more time at the movie house than they do in the Word of God. The average believer today spends more time in front of television and on social media than they do in the Word of God. It's young folks spend hours and hours a day on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and so little time in God's Word. Then we say, God bless us. I said, I want to bless you. Delight in my Word, and I will. That's how you got saved. Amen. When you heard that was a delight to you when you heard that God saves sinners. It was a delight to you when you heard that God can save a sinner and all you got to do is call upon Him by faith and He'd save you. What a great delight. Amen. Now let me say something. Don't just delight in God for salvation. Delight in God for your life. Amen. Father, today we come to you in closing. And I thank you, dear God, for your great Word. And Lord, I...